Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to episode 100 of the MegaCast. We did it. I can't believe we actually did it. Really.
I'm a little bit surprised.
I'm surprised we just didn't do a PAX, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we last caught up because it's been we could have done a PAX next week too. Fuck.
Hey, it would be difficult for me to phone in.
That's true. That's true.
You know? Not as difficult as you've done it in the past, mate.
Hey, come on now.
Also true. But it's been a couple of weeks since we last did a podcast. It's been very hard to get everyone together. I was sick for like a full week and then
God intervened. Yeah,
you got the fucking plague.
And then we tried to do the podcast I think last Thursday night
last
and
Friday night.
The hometown. Last Friday night, the hometown that myself and Josh live in. Got fucking smashed by a storm and we couldn't do it. But
episode 100. To be fair, last Friday, like that storm came in pretty hard and heavy as soon as we started, and about a half hour afterwards, it had kind of fucked off.
Yeah, there was still lightning and stuff, but still.
God doesn't want us doing this, mate. He's fucking don't. But anyway, do this podcast. Yeah. How much exciting stuff do we have planned for tonight? This is going to be amazing.
So here's the deal, right? What we wanted to do. So first of all, we've got to crack this because realistically, congratulations to everyone, episode 100.
Hey, yep. Cheers!
There's the beer being open. Cheers, everybody! Clink, clink, all that shit. So. Beer on the podcast, and that's about as much as you're going to get. Because we sort of thought about it, and everyone always does.
You're a liar. Stuff. We didn't think about it. We're just too lazy.
No, I thought about it. And I was like, should we do something for episode 100? Should we do something for episode 100? And I was like,
We reached out to 100 people, episode. And they said, nah. We're good. Don't worry about it. Just move on.
Yeah, so, we're bucking the trend. Episode 102? That's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, if we make it to 200, we might do something then, maybe. But in true USM fashion, this is just another fucking episode.
And it's 3 weeks late, so deal with it.
That's what we did. We were 3 weeks USM. Late. But It's been a few weeks, so we'll catch up with Wilco first, man. What have you been up to? Happy episode 100, you bastard.
Nothing much, mate, to be honest.
Good.
That's a Josh. Throwback to Hutto. We miss you, Hutto. Actually, I'll get to hug Hutto in about 10 days' time. How good's that?
Yeah, so keep exciting. Rubbing it in, you fucking bastards.
Okay, yeah. I will then. Yeah, that's going to be so good at PAX. That's what I've been doing for. I've played heaps, but we'll leave the PAX talk to later when Josh is really upset. But been doing a lot of prep for that. But the main thing is I was an Espets fan over the weekend. I did all the Espets I could and watched
fucking
all the Espets.
You did not, did you?
Yeah, mate. I watched.
What did you watch?
Rainbow Six Siege had the APAC finals. So this is Asia Pacific shootout between the top 8 teams of the region, and they were qualifying for Rio, which is the world finals next month, and so for season 8. And then also the top 2 went through and qualified for the Invitational next February, which is big money. So. We had 2 Aussie teams represented, and we did a big locked on. We did a locked on episode just wrapping up the whole weekend. But it was amazing. It was really good play. Rainbow Six is amazing to watch. They've put the tools in there to make it very much user friendly to watch as an Espet. So it was really good to see that. Unfortunately, Atletico, which was one of the top Aussie seed, fell out in the first round. It was a very very close match. But Fnatic, who is really currently probably the number one team in Australia qualified.
Fnatic are number one, like they're one of the number one gaming brands. They got fucking CSGO teams, Dota teams, everything.
The old Mind Freak from Rainbow Six Days, so they've got a long history in Rainbow Six Siege for Australia, and they've been to the last few world finals, or the majors, and once again, they qualified, but then sort of fell away in the final. Nora Ringo just smashed them in the final. We don't know what happened still, but the big thing is those 3 teams are actually going to be playing at PAX with also Darkseid in the Masters, which is, it's just built up because they invited Nora Ringo in as the one outside of Australia side to play at PAX in the Masters, and they are now the number one qualifying or the winner of the APAC finals. So it could be a grudge match coming up on stage at the arena in PAX, which I'm pretty excited
I'll have to check that out.
For.
That'll be good.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a really good Saturday. Check it out. They're playing for $25,000 in prize money, which is...
Oh, chump change, really.
Yeah, well, between 4 teams, I'd take it. $2,000 for last. It, yeah. And, but while I was doing that, I played... little game. We had Henrik on last year, just after PAX, who was from the Voxel Agents, and he made it. He was making a little game called The Gardens Between. And
oh, yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, it's finally released. It was one of the PAX Rising, PAX Showcase, Indie Showcase, one of those. It was one of the top five from last year's PAX. We had him on. Totally no narrative in the whole game of spoken. No spoken narrative. It's all done through the actual gameplay and the visuals. It is a beautiful game. It takes about 3 hours to get through. Just tells a nice... It is a sad story, but it's not a... You know, those, oh, someone died or someone did this. It's just a nice, sad story that makes you real think about a few things. And it's just it told through the kids' eyes. And, yeah, it's just puzzle-based. So you use your analog stick, left and right on the analog stick, and you press one button to interact with. So that's the controls are super simple, so anyone can get into it. The puzzles do, though, get very difficult towards the end, and there's a lot of those moments where you're playing it and I got frustrated. I'll say it. There's two or three times where I got frustrated. The same thing I had at PAX. I got frustrated, and then as soon as I saw the answer, I went,
oh, of course.
Wow. Mm. That was actually not of course. It was, that's a very clever way to do that. I didn't think that was possible. Not that it wasn't possible, just that was a very clever way to solve that puzzle. And
yeah, fair.
Yeah, no, very, very good. So if you've got a chance, you've got I think it's on Switch, PS4 and Xbox, but definitely Switch and PS4. It was actually on Paris Games Week stage last year. It was one of the big PS4 announcements that was coming to one of the indie titles. So definitely check it out if you can, and yeah, really, really, really good. But also playing another indie game called, not from another indie, Josh's best mates, but actually from TP Studios and Devil Die Studios, called Chroma Shift. Another puzzle, 2D adventure puzzle platformer, but it's co-op. The whole game is co-op, and it's built around co-op. So me and Butters got online the other night, and we played through. Yeah, we had a few teething problems getting it all sorted out, but yeah, really, really fun. And we got to the end, and we had another frustrating moment. We were about halfway through the game when we gave up for the night, but we were sitting there for about 15 minutes just banging our head against the wall going, try this, let's try this, try this. No, no, no. And then you could almost hear both our cogs turning in our head at the end going, oh, no, I completely understand what we've got to do now. We both did it at the same time. And yeah, so really interested to see where it goes. And the fact that it's co-op the whole way, you can play it in single player. It's a little bit fiddly, a little bit harder, but the controls are a bit... Because you have to swap between both characters as you go around, and each character can only do a certain thing in the world, can only interact with certain things. So
reminds me of like Lost Vikings and stuff on old SNES games.
Yeah,
it's sort of stuff.
Very heavily colour-based, so all the puzzles are about... Well,
it's called Chroma Shift, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of the puzzles are, okay, you need to get through that yellow beam, so you need to, or orange beam, so you need to turn your robot orange, so you've got to go find the orange orb to change yourself orange, fair. And then there's multiple colour puzzles where you got to change multiple things and have two people use it at once and stuff like that. But very, very recommended again. These Aussie indie games, it launched last week, so it was another one we had on the podcast.
Looking through this list, mate, you've been playing a lot of Aussie indie games.
Yeah, man, and it's going to keep on going through to PAX. That's what I'm sort of streaming at the moment. So we had Party Crashes last night, those old giant margarita guys.
Oh, man, how are they?
They're awesome.
They're such good value, those guys.
Ian's house flooded along with...
Oh, are you kidding?
You remember Hello Games? Halfway through towards the end of the development process, the whole office flooded, lost heap of stuff. Giant Margarita had that about 6 months ago, 7 months ago. The office that he works out of and his house all flooded. Lost all the gear, but luckily he said he just set up this proper good backup system and all the stuff was backed up, so they didn't lose any data. It was just...
That's lucky.
He's still living out of an Airbnb at the moment, so...
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, it's a process. Don't worry about that. But yeah, he's been transferred from place to place. But that's not the story. The story is that they've had Party Crashers launch last week on Switch, on everything basically. Where Party Golf was a staggered launch, this time he went for a shotgun launch, and then they realised that it was the same day as Mario Party. And didn't go as well as planned, but...
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, no, but it's still, like, they're going to be pushing it hard at PAX, and it's the best place to see it is the PAX. They're actually coming over to our apartment on Friday night, where at, while we're at PAX, we're having a bit of a locked-on drinks night, and Party Crashers will be the game we're playing, and we're going to try and stream and record it, and they're going to come over and help us play and all that kind of stuff, so... But the big thing out of the night, so we actually, they watched my gameplay through Discord live and commented on it, and then I stripped both them and me and the game to Twitch, so they actually, everyone got live commentary and stories behind what they were doing and all that kind of stuff, so it was really, really good, and a type of content that I want to sort of bring forward with a few more Aussie indies, and where they basically do a ride-along and tell us stories about the game while I'm playing it, so...
Yeah, that's an awesome idea.
Really well. But they've got a third-party game in the works, and it will be announced at PAX, I believe. So, couldn't get it out of him last night. We'll move on to... I quickly did some Damsel, another indie dev.
I'm still in love with that game. I can't wait to see those guys again this year.
Well, this is another indie dev that had their office flood last week. But that launches the 19th, I believe it is. It's only a couple of days away from official launch. So they're all... They put a whole cartoon and beautifully drawn cartoon storyline to go with it now. So definitely a great game. I'll be playing a bit more of that hopefully tonight and booked in to go see them down at PAX. But I played some Forza. I haven't played it for a while, but I did a review. The review's on the website. Other than that... I've got two things here that I've purchased since we talked last, and one's the PSVR, and I've played that and got sick. Well, not sick, but I felt
motion sickness.
Yeah, we played Gran Turismo.
Yeah,
not
fair.
Not a good game to, like...
To first play?
No, it was a good game to first play, but it's just... It's the VR mode that they talk about on it. You know, it's front cover, you know, VR enabled. It's you got to play in arcade, and it's locked away, and it's only in a very select mode you can go in. It's not the whole... The whole game. Yeah, which is annoying. But haven't played it to death too much. There's a few games that I want to. I've downloaded one of the demos, so I'm going to go through and play it. But I want to play Astrobot, which is what everyone's talking about at the moment. And I'm very keen for Beat Saber when it finally comes to PSVR.
Buy this year. Get Super Hot too. Super Hot VR.
I own Super Hot. I purchased it, and there was another like a puzzle one where you put your hands on the control, but in the VR, your hands are stuck in a box. Talik or something like that, and then you've actually
heard of that one. Yeah, I've seen video on that one.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I picked up the Dark Knight Arkham experience as well because it was like 80% off. So
yeah.
I'm just basically keeping an eye on the store, and I'll see when the sales are, and I'll pick up a few games. But I'll get back into that soon. But I got my Commodore 64 Mini today, and I'm pretty friggin' excited to play it eventually. So it's gonna be cool. Because you can actually, they did the thing. Okay, so you know NES and all that, you got your 30 games, your 20 games you can play, and that's it.
Yeah.
Commodore 64 Mini went, okay, we're going to release a firmware update now. We've released it in America that chuck a USB stick in the side with your ROMs in it, and you can play any of them. Doesn't matter.
Man, that's cool. So that's really cool.
That's not a hack. That's nothing. That's just you do the latest firmware update for the machine as of the 9th of October. And yeah, chuck it, put all the ROMs on a USB stick and plug it inside, and away you go. So,
dude, other places need to learn from that, because that will effectively kill privacy for your via emulators and ROMs if other people do that. They should just do that.
These are legally obtained ROMs, I must admit. So that's not the easiest thing to do, but you know, it's there.
100%.
But yeah, look, I've talked for way too long for the 100th episode. You're sick of me already. I apologize to everyone. Let's move on to Josh, because Josh has been doing some weird stuff with toys.
You have been, man.
Yeah.
Weird stuff with weird toys, even weirder toys.
Look,
where'd you put that toy again? That was
in your butt.
So that's the joke.
I guess probably the big thing for me is I've been.
Hold on, whoa! Does that say what I think it says right there?
Probably. I've been a lot more active. Just trying to get fit. Maddie's. Obviously, I caught up with Maddie last Monday night, I think it was, for squash.
Yep.
So I've dropped about 7 or 8 kilos in the past month and a half, which I'm pretty
happy with. Well, man. You're looking good.
So I think you've dropped about 30, and I've got all 30 of those.
Yeah, I've lost it quite a bit too.
But I guess the reason why I'm talking about that is a lot of that involves a lot of walking and running and stuff. and we recently went to Mount Tambourine for my mother-in-law's wedding to her new partner. And there wasn't a lot to do, but there were Pokestops everywhere, my wife told me. So I ended up re-downloading or getting back onto Pokemon Go. Anyway, so I've been playing a fair bit of that. And look, to be fair, I'm just going to be really interested to see what the interaction between that and the Pokemon Go games on the Switch are going to be like. You know?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. What level are you at?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, 27 or some fucking thing.
Wow.
Where? But yeah, the thing that's going to interest me is you're meant to be able to transfer Pokemon from Go on your phone to the game to be able to use.
I believe that doesn't get unlocked until about 75% of the way through the game.
Yeah.
So what if I have?
Well, that's the thing. Like I've got a Zapdos
exploit of the game, and I've got fucking everything because I just used GPS cheats early on.
There are people that have got everything. Really,
yeah, there are
in the game. So that's like kind of what I was interested about.
Yeah, from my understanding, you get to 75% complete or roughly around that point, and that's when you unlock that transfer feature. So you still have to play a lot of the game before.
Which is probably good.
Yeah, because that's the way you can then fill out. So you try and fill out your Pokédex in game, and then you get to the point where, well, you haven't done it yet, but do you want to make it a bit easier on yourself? Anything you've already caught in Pokemon Go on your phone,
you can fill in the gaps across for you. Yeah.
Which is smart.
Yeah, look, I've been playing that. It's just something to do when I'm up at 5 in the morning going for a walk or something like that, because there's not a lot else to do at 5 in the morning.
Well, there is. I'm about an hour and a half into work at that stage. So.
For sane people. There's not a lot to do for sane people.
Sorry, my bad.
I've also played a little bit more Forza Horizon 4, which actually... Matt is going to play.
Eventually. Hang on, we'll get into that soon. I didn't put it down because I wanted to shock the fuck out of Wilco. So, you know, well done, Josh.
Yeah, good.
Can we do
the
spoiler cast now?
And then I've been
the rear wing spoiler cast. Yes,
I've been watching a lot of stuff. So I've watched season 1 and 2 of Tokyo Ghoul on Netflix. That was pretty good. I'm about halfway through Legion season 1, which is just fucking trippy.
I don't know if I'm going to watch that. Hey,
is that
it's really good. Like, it is really, really good. It's going to be like you're reading the comics, so it's going to be pretty different from the comics.
Yeah, so this is the Professor X's son one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
But it is still a pretty damn good show. I'm really enjoying it.
Is that show still going, or is it just a sort of it's finished now?
No, so there's 2 seasons so far.
Yeah,
I don't think it's been cancelled, but I'm not sure. Obviously, the new Doctor Who's out now as well with Jodie Whittaker, which is also really, really good. The first 2 episodes of that, and I watched the Titans DC TV show, first episode of that, which was
out. Is it already?
Yeah, it came out Sunday, I think.
Okay.
Or Monday, one of those 2 days.
I feel like we only heard about that like a couple months ago. Yeah, was that at Comic Con? We heard about that.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Look, it's interesting. Obviously, Whippy. In the old Discord had some stuff to say about it, but he's like a Teen Titans fan, I guess, you know.
I went and saw the Teen Titans movie the other day. The comic one, and it's terrible. It's the kids one. I had to watch the school holidays. It was, oh my god,
anyway. I can already see that DC's trying to make this a bit more adultish, and you know, with the blood and the gore and the stuff, and I don't know, I'll see how it goes.
But the DC thing, making it gory and horror and sorry, dark. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Oh no, it's weird, right?
Strange track to take.
But the other thing is, I picked up Starlink for the Switch today. I haven't played anything yet. I've just unboxed it. I've started the update. It's actually surprisingly got a 6 gig download to play it.
Holy shit! For the Switch, that's big.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even get me fucking started on updates.
We'll talk about that. Apparently, we will. Sure. But as I said, look, I've unboxed it. I don't know. I'll be interested to see how it plays. I know you guys are very. I know what your guys' thoughts are on the whole Toys to Life thing and all of that.
Oh, did you read the Outlook that never went out?
Yeah, it's coming. Shut up. But the one thing I will say is I got the Switch version because I wanted Star Fox's ship, the AR wing, and I wanted Star Fox in the game. And the ship, the AR wing, don't know. It looks nice. It's a pretty damn good little statue. It's built well. It feels sturdy. It feels good. So it's not, in my head, it's not a cheap toy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's more of a collectible than a little toy.
Yeah, yeah. It looks good. It's painted well. So I don't know. I'll see. Hopefully I might get to play it a little bit tonight or through the week at least. And see what the gameplay is like. For all I know, it could be an absolute shit game, and we'll be talking about that next week. It's very
I didn't mind them, actually, though. The Toys for Life games are actually pretty fun. Just the fact that you had to keep buying toys to unlock more shit used to piss me off.
Yeah. Look, I've done a little bit of research. Apparently you can play the game without any of the toys, and I think you can still unlock stuff in-game. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be interested to see to find out. Because the one thing... I mean, the other reason I got on the Switch was my understanding... from a Switch when you're playing it in handheld mode is there's really that with the PlayStation, for example, the ship and everything just kind of clips onto the top of the controller, right? So it's all kind of there, so you can put stuff on and swap the stuff out as you need to, which in my head I just thought to myself, that's just going to be painful as shit, you know, having this fucking thing on top of the controller. So the reason I got on the Switch, I'm thinking, well, in handheld mode you can't really put anything anywhere, can you? Like it's a screen and the controllers are on the side.
But they've worked out a way, haven't they?
No, they haven't. They haven't. And plenty. Okay, good. There is a whole docking system for the controllers to go into if you do want to play it on your TV and stuff. And I've kind of held that in my hands. It doesn't feel too clunky, but I'm sure it will get annoying at some point. But yeah, just keen to see what the gameplay is like, I guess.
Yeah, fair. We'll catch up with you on that next week, I guess. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Matty?
That's optimistic, by the way. Hell. Next week.
Yeah, maybe a week after. So we'll go through the pleasant stuff first, I guess. I've been playing a little bit of my Switch, actually. Mario Kart Deluxe, I've been playing through that, trying to unlock Gold Mario.
Nice.
Very good game. Yep, been playing it with Kate.
Stupid grind to get Gold Mario, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. But
what is the grind to get Gold Mario?
Unlock everything?
Like, what do you got
to
do?
No, just you have to... So
get gold in every single...
There's 50cc, 100cc, 150cc, and 200cc classes. Mm-hmm. And then there are 12 lots of four races. So what's that? That's like 48 races. And then you have to get first place pretty much in 48... Or we get gold in each event on all four classes. So it's, 48 races by four... So
is
it's
Mirror like 160, included in that
170
as well,
races. Mirror might be included as well, so it's an extra lot as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You have to do a lot to get Gold Mario.
That doesn't sound like much at all.
Not be professionals like you, but...
Look,
mortals, mate.
Yeah, it's a lot, so fuck off, mostly. So I've been playing a bit of that. I picked up Detroit Become Human as well.
Oh my God. I've been waiting to talk to you about this, but we can't talk about it because of spoilers.
Yeah, because the spoiler... I mean, it's been out for a while, but...
But still, I don't want to spoil this for anyone.
I'm actually playing that after the podcast tonight. I've been made to promise that I won't play it without Kate. Yeah. So I started playing it with her, and she's like, I want to see what the end is. So I have been able to play it.
Have you progressed further than last time I talked to you about this?
No. Okay, so cool. I'm still at... I mean, it's not going to spoil if we say I'm at Jericho. If you don't know... If you haven't played the game, you don't know what the fuck that is. But I'm at Jericho. I've done the first mission in there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where I am. And I think that's about halfway through.
Yeah, it's about halfway. It gets very fast-paced after that.
Yeah. I picked up a game called The Sexy Brutale. EB had it for $9. Of course you did. Brand new, which is fucking crazy. It's like a weird little puzzle game about like a murder mystery in a hotel. Pretty damn good. Played a bit of that. I can talk about it now because it's not embargoed anymore. I've been playing Infliction, which is a fucking scary ass Australian game. God,
I'm
going to
stream this
terrifying.
On Friday. I'm planning on getting it and streaming it Friday. So it's actually one of the PAX Rising or PAX Showcase picks as well. So it's one of the top five games.
Interestingly enough, I like, if anyone's seen my streams, I have played games like Outlast and stuff like that on a stream before. And I generally like horror games and I like horror movies, but they don't usually really scare me too much because they're steeped in semi-reality, I think. Like, they're always at like mental institutions or broken down hospitals and shit like that, places that I'm personally never gonna be.
Wow, that's a big leap.
Are you sure?
Mental institution, maybe. I could be there right now for all I know, just yelling at the wall going, I'm on the podcast. But you know, this game starts and you're in your home. Like, you're just at home. Like, well, actually, you're driving home to get some tickets that your partner's sort of like, hey, I left the tickets on the fucking counter. And just straight away, the game is... It's fucking creepy. It's real creepy. And then I was sitting here trying to play it about 5 nights ago, sitting here trying to play it. And I was like, I'm at home. Fuck this. It's dark. I haven't turned any lights on. I had to stop playing it. So I'm keen to get back into that.
You sent me a picture of something in game that was like a Nintendo 6 NES. What was the games? Yeah. One was Mass Effect.
Was it Homebound or something like that? Or along those lines. It was something like a Homegrown, I think it was.
Okay.
Something like that. But yeah, there's like, it's set in the early to mid 90s. So there's like NESs and shit everywhere, and it's really cool. I like the aesthetic of the game a lot. Very, very creepy. I'll be playing more of that probably even on stream in the coming days.
Yeah. I'm just going to come and knock on your door when you're streaming today.
Yeah. It's releasing the 19th or something like that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Releasing this week. It's not embargoed anymore as of today, I believe.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter too, so it's one of those success stories as well.
Mm. So, outside of games, NBA season has started, so I've been doing a fantasy draft with the guys from 8-Bit over there.
Keen
on that. Yep, hopefully I will. My team name is the North Queensland Gooch Gremlins. That's fair. Lovely. And I've been rewatching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure because season 5 has started, and I'm a massive, massive JoJo's fan. So that's an anime. If you haven't seen it, you're fucking missing out. Really, really good. Also, PAX stuff, finding accommodation, getting psyched for PAX, buying accommodation, all that sort of stuff. But let's get into the meat of what I've been doing for the past week.
I forgot to mention. Sorry, before we get into this, I bought COD Blops 4 the other day too on PS4.
Oh yeah, so did I. Fuck my life.
Put it in. Fucking downloaded. Perfect. Was ready to play within half an hour. So good. Well, sorry, Perko. Sorry for interrupting. What did you do?
So anyone who has me on social media now knows that I've had some trouble in the past few days.
Oh, sorry, man. What, it's been bad, has it?
It's been real shit.
Okay, sorry.
I purchased Blops.
Oh, did you?
On release day, yeah, I did. After work, I went, fuck, man, I'm really keen for this, because I was in the beta, and I really liked it, and I was going to pick it up on PC, but I had some mates that I haven't played PS4 games with in a while that I knew we were going to be playing that night. So I was like, look, I'll pick it up on PS4 first, I'll play with them for a while, and I'll pick it up on PC as well, because I generally play first-person shooters on PC. Picked it up on PS4, came home, I bought the disc version, because I'm a sucker for discs, and I like collecting things. So I bring it home, and I pop it in, and it goes 17 gig update, or something like that, 16 or 17 gig update. And I'm like, that's pretty shit for a day one patch, I guess. Whatever. I left it, walked away for whatever it was, half an hour. I live in Mackay, so it's potato-grade internet, whatever. Came back, and the update had finished, and a new update was downloading at 52 gig. Day fucking one. So
it's all those assets, mate. All those 4K assets.
So first of all, fuck you, Activision and Sony for
and Nintendo. Nintendo got the wrath as well, didn't they?
No, in my rant, they eventually did. So I ranted on Facebook about it for a while. I was, you know, up yours, Activision. This is fucking bullshit. Like, how can you not just fit this on a disc? Like, I'm downloading entire games. Apparently, what the goal is. The 17 gig is the 17 gig is Blackout, which is the Battle Royale mode. The 52 gig is multiplayer and zombies, meaning...
Which is the whole game.
That's the whole game. Meaning what the general consensus is the disc only contains a license or a couple of files on it and a license to make sure you're actually able to play these.
You're kidding.
That's a new one.
Apparently. Now, this is what I've read online. I don't know if this is true or not. Which is a dog act. Activision, put it on the fucking disc. Some people don't have good internet, so
how are they saving themselves that much money by not printing the game to the disc? Because they've still got to write something to the disc when they put the license on there.
But you can play the game without downloading the updates. So I haven't tested, but the game launches without updates. I don't know what you can actually play and what you can't play. There is some single player content in there in the way of you do like these weird multiplayer matches that sort of tell this weird storyline about specialists, but it's nowhere near a single player campaign. So maybe that's on the disc. I don't know. But
I've just got to point out when you were ranting about the update before we move on, and you put up on, I can't remember if it was Twitter or on Facebook, about all the things that were smaller than Activision's day one update. Yeah. And wasn't one of them like all the text files from Wikipedia or some shit?
Not little bits. All of the text, all of the English text in the entirety of Wikipedia equals 13 gig. The whole amount of information that's in Wikipedia is smaller than Activision's day one fucking patch for Blobs.
I think also three copies of No Man's Sky is smaller than...
That's an infinite universe,
so
mate.
So
I'm downloading this massive update. I'm already pissed off. It finally fucking finishes. I walk in, I go to launch the game, and it just errors. I go to launch it, and straight away it goes, application cannot start due to fucking some CE-848, whatever the error code was. I was like, what? That's a bit weird. Try again. Doesn't launch. Same error. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? Restart my PlayStation. Try again. Same error. I'm like, are you fucking joking me? So I check forums online. They're like, yeah, you have to... It's a corrupt patch. You have to re-download it. I'm like, are you fuck off? So I delete the game, reinstall it, and then start re-downloading the patch. And by this point, I'm back on fucking the internet just raging, just ripping everyone at this point.
Furious.
Fucking just losing my fucking mind. And then I wait and wait and wait and wait. That patch downloads, re-downloads it all, and then I try to open the game after another fucking 4 million hours, it feels like. And the same fucking error comes up straight away. I can't launch the game. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What is going on? So then I go, surely, like, my other games work. I go and get Detroit Become Human, which I've been playing, put that in, try and launch it, same error. I'm like, what's happened here? I try and launch Crunchyroll, which is like an anime streaming service, same error. I can't launch fucking anything on my PS4. And I'm like, this fucking update from Activision has bricked my fucking PS4. I started to think that those motherfuckers read my Facebook post and were just like, oi.
Brick him. On this fucking brick second this one. It's brick
yeah,
him.
Yeah, brick this motherfucker. So I start reading online and they're like, you have to reinitialize your PS4. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I boot it into safe mode and I go down to the reinitialize button and I click on reinitialize and I knew what it was going to say. It goes, this will erase all the data on your PS4. And I'm like, ah, fuck. Well, I need to back it up first. So I click the X button without realizing it defaults to yes. Are you sure you're going to do this? Yes.
Oh.
So boom, reinitialized all my fucking save data. I was like, oh fuck, I didn't even back anything up, shit. Oh fuck, I hope my cloud saves are up to date.
Fuck.
So the PS4 reinitializes. I haven't got the heart to check my saves at this point. I'm just like, fuck, well, I'm in it now, I'm fucking going for this ride. It reinitializes. I put the disc back in, it re-downloads the fucking patch. I try to play the game with a fresh install, same fucking error. By this point, it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I've been trying to play this thing since like 5 p.m. And I'm still like probably early. I'm probably trying to play it since like 2:30 or something. It's maybe even later at this point, maybe like midnight. And I'm losing my fucking mind. So then I go back into the reinitialization, and I notice there's another one that says reinitialize with full system restore. So I come to my computer, I download a fresh copy of the PlayStation operating system onto a USB stick, I plug that in and do a full fucking console reinitialization. I've already done it once, so I'm not going to lose anything, with a full fucking reinstall of the PS4 operating system, right? That finishes, I put the game disc back in, I re-download fucking everything again, And then by this point, I went to bed. By this point, I think it was like 2:30 in the morning by all this had happened. And like, I was like, fuck, I'm not going to get to play this tonight. So, and then I wake up at 4 because I want to get this shit sorted. And I try it again. Same fucking error. Same fucking error. I can't launch this fucking game. No, sorry. The next morning it worked. It worked once. Sorry. The next morning I launched it and the game launched. I was like, yes, I fucking fixed it. I played one match. And as the match ends, you can leave back into the lobby. And I left. Error comes up straight away as I was leaving. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it wouldn't launch again. Like, the game wouldn't launch again. And I was like, what the fuck? And started losing my fucking mind. So then I unplugged my PlayStation completely. unplugged it, did a static discharge on it, considered turfing it in the backyard, decided not to, fucking plugged it back in about half an hour later when I calmed down a bit, and it let me play another match. But then after that one match, it aired out again and fucking kicked me back. So I started to think, maybe my fucking PlayStation's like overheating or something. So I drove down to Bunnings at the fucking at 6 o'clock when they fucking opened. I picked up Torx screwdrivers, came back, stripped my entire fucking PlayStation 4 down, cleaned everything, cleaned all the components, put it back together, took it back in my room, plugged it back in, same fucking error. By this point, I'm ready to fucking kill someone. So then reading online that it might be the hard drive that's on the blink. So I fucking came in here, stripped an old laptop apart, got the hard drive out, replaced the hard drive, reinstalled the operating system, re-downloaded the fucking updates and everything again. Same fucking error. Bang, fucking error. I'm losing my fucking mind at this point. So then I decide...
At this point, mate...
I'm losing it. It's been like a
thought you'd lost it before you went in there.
Mate,
I originally thought the story was just going to end with, oh, you had that error, I uninstalled the game and threw the disc in the bin and burned.
No. I'm seriously considering setting up my fucking camera and videotaping me smashing my PlayStation 4 and posting it online at this point.
Have you taken the disc just, around to Josh's PS4
it, and put it on? We're getting to that. This isn't finished.
So by this point,
man,
I'm actually I'm troubleshooting and I'm eliminating things that it could be. So I've eliminated a whole bunch of stuff. I've eliminated a ton of stuff at this point. So I'm like, well, what could it possibly be at this point? I said, it could be my PlayStation. It could be the game disc. I said, fuck this. I'm not going to download this again. So I came and I got my external hard... I should have done this at the fucking start. I came and I got my external hard drive and I plugged it into the PlayStation, formatted my external hard drive, lost my backups because I'm an idiot and I was just too pissed off by this point. Formatted my external hard drive so it was an external hard drive for the PlayStation and moved all the game data onto the external hard drive, right? So now I knew I had an exact copy of the game data that was erroring out on my PlayStation. I unplugged that and then I went to EB Games and I... replaced the fucking game disc just in case. I'm like, look man, this is, I don't know what this is doing, it doesn't fucking work. They gave me a new disc, brought it home, put it in, same fucking error, ruled out the game disc. Then I get Beck, my sister, to come over with her PlayStation and I'm like, well, maybe it's my PlayStation. So I plug my external hard drive into her PlayStation, put the disc in, boots up fine, I'm able to play the fucking game. I'm like, oh my God. And Beck's like, you can borrow my PlayStation if you want. I'm like, fuck yes, finally, I've got a PlayStation. I can play some fucking Black Ops. I've been trying so hard to get this thing working. Plug a network cable in the back. Her network port is dead and doesn't work.
Yeah, I've got that on mine, PS4, actually. Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck.
I found out my PS4 what day one edition is very much failing as well at the moment. But anyway,
yeah, Bex is too. So I lose my fucking mind again. Eventually, Josh allows me to borrow his PlayStation. So I've been playing Black Ops.
And it's working.
I just want to make it. When Matt has come to get my PlayStation, I have said to him, I've said, you know, I just would have fucking returned the game.
Yeah.
I just would have been like, you know what? I'll get my money back.
But you know what, Josh?
I'm fine.
It became less about the game and more about me fixing the fucking problem, I think. So I'm working
tech. Guess what, though, Josh?
You know, so.
Guess what?
What?
Happy 100th episode, everyone. This is something we put together, so Perko didn't know about it. So we punked you.
A little tricky play. Now, Matty, to confirm, Matty, so your PlayStation is now at a point, correct me if I'm wrong, what you've told me, where... Black Ops is the only game it won't play. Everything else runs right.
Yep.
Yeah?
I've got over 100 games sitting behind me, and every single one of those works flawlessly.
Works flawlessly.
Black Ops will not
launch. You can
launch.
Open Crunchyroll. You can do whatever.
Yep.
It's just Black Ops.
Won't so launch. They're using part launch. Of the your PS4 that no other game
uses. That's what
I'm
thinking. And this I've actually posted, and there's quite a long string of posts on the Activision forums now, and I'm waiting for a dev to reply to me. I've got a bunch of troubleshooting on there. All these people have like upvoted me, said, holy shit, you've done a lot. Like, I would have just fucking, you know...
returned the fucking game.
Yeah. I would have just killed myself and moved on with it. Yeah, exactly.
But like, I'm waiting for Activision, because at the bottom of it, I'm like, hey guys, is this similar to that fucking weird Xbox 360 Dead Rising issue? Like, Dead Rising was the first game that came out that used a part of the processing power that had never been used before, and it was bricking a lot of consoles. Is this similar? Because we're into that weird part of the console lifecycle now where games are having to squeeze every last bit out of consoles. So I'm starting to think that maybe... there's a
few
out there.
Is yours a day one machine or...
No, mine's the second edition. Not the third, the second one.
Because, my day one's lost its Ethernet port. I found out when I got my PSVR that it's lost its... actual camera port, so where that funny looking USB on the back, the camera wasn't working. I'm like, what the fuck? And I was pulling my hair out, and I did the same as you. Okay, eliminate this, eliminate that. I had my PS4 Pro, luckily, out in the lounge room, brought in, and fucking camera works fine. PSVR works fine. Weird. It's just that port. And I think I've got Wi-Fi still, but it's only just barely hanging on as well. So it's pretty much dedicated to be a machine for the lounge room that doesn't get used very much now. So
yeah. Anyway,
it's a shame.
Black Ops 4 is good. Let's do this.
Oh, see, so is it good, is it? That was the question. We never know. Don't throw away. You promised me Forza Horizon 4 chat. What happened?
Oh, yeah, actually, before we do this, we'll do that. I got my old TV working at the front because Sethy really likes to, like, you know, run around while the TV's sort of on the background. So I hooked up some, because that TV works fine, just got no sound through it. And my Xbox One is out there as well. So I hooked it up for Sethy, and then I was like, you know what? I'll plug my Xbox in so he can just frig around with controllers and games and stuff out here in the lounge room. And then I was like, hey, I ordered Domino's like a week and a half ago, and I got a month free of Xbox Live with a 14-day Xbox Game Pass for free.
Yep.
So I put those in, got that, and realized that on Xbox Game Pass, I could download a whole bunch of games. I was like, well, I have it. I may as well do it. So I downloaded Forza. I downloaded like Sunset Overdrive, and I downloaded Lucky's Tale, whatever it's called.
Lucky's Super Lucky's Tale.
I played Super Lucky's Tale with Seth. He fucking loves that. And I haven't played Forza yet, but I probably will, I guess, maybe.
The whole Discord's getting into it now that I've finished the review and had to move on to other things for the moment, but I'll be back to it after PAX, I'd say. So
we'll see. Yeah, again, I'm going to PAX next week, so I don't even know if I will, but we'll see.
The problem is, after PAX is Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've still got to finish like Detroit and shit, so I don't know. Anyway, let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
So there is a little bit of news,
mainly because we have been away for a month.
Yeah, a little bit. So we'll get through some of this stuff relatively quickly, because we don't want to bore you out of your minds with a 3-hour podcast episode 100, and plus, you know, I want to go play Detroit. So Google's Project Stream promises to deliver AAA games, apparently playable in a Chrome browser, starting with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Mate, I'm not too sure if anyone out there has used Google Chrome. That motherfucker already saps up 80% of my fucking computer's 16 gig of RAM anyway. How the fuck are you going to put AAA games in there?
They've already started the beta, and a few people are reporting that it actually worked really well for them, and a few people are saying they had issues, but so far it's actually, people are being shocked about how well it's actually running.
Yeah,
I
thought that was really weird when I saw that. I'm like, that just seems okay. Just seems well, like
yeah,
weird.
But when you add that to what's down a little bit further,
yeah,
which is
we'll
Microsoft
talk about that one now. This
Project
is
X Cloud, which is
yeah, Microsoft's
their
Project X Cloud, yeah,
streaming service, which is basically PS4 remote play, but absolutely anywhere and actually working.
So what they do is they pretty much host. What from what I understand, they're like hosting virtual Xbox Ones in Azure. And then you're just streaming that content down. So they're using their Azure Cloud, which is fucking absolutely massive, to do the processing of the games for you. The problem with that is that it is heavily reliant on your internet connection.
Yep.
And regardless of how good, there's always going to be some latency. There's got to be some latency in there.
No, like, this is what people are finding with the Project Stream, the Google version of it. They're actually finding they're putting in controllers and there's no latency.
So no latency, no. So it depends if it's server side or client side. It would really depend. Like once you start playing like competitive shooters and stuff like that, it would get very, very different.
Yep.
Some games would work fine, but I don't know how the latency would work with a lot of the more latency dependent games, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but put it this way. We've been talking about a long time for Microsoft to just be a store on anything.
Yeah.
And this feels like that first official step in that direction where we could see the PlayStation 4 have an Xbox app and you just stream your games through the PS4 because that's a device in your house.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd allow it to be on Sony, but at the same time, if you're in the IT space, which I am, if you've ever tried to do anything on Azure, you realize very quickly that there is one massively limiting factor. It is fucking expensive to do anything on Azure.
Yeah.
Very expensive to do anything on that fucking platform. Cloud computing is expensive. So if they're going to do it, it'll probably come at a price tag.
It'll be interesting. It's a huge development, and it's if it goes ahead, like it's going to mean a lot of stuff for the gaming industry, to the point where, you know, $500-$700 consoles aren't needed anymore. You'll be paying not more for games, but you'll be paying probably more for subscriptions and stuff like that to access games like that.
Mm.
And maybe even game rentals will come in where you actually pay by the hour for a game and stuff like that.
The problem is that when I lose internet, I want to be able to play video games.
Yeah, and they've already said the Scarlet Project, which is the other announcement they had a couple of months or month or so ago about the next sort of Xbox console, that there'll be a streaming version, which will be a tiny cheap box which just basically does streaming, but they'll also then release a proper big machine that doesn't need the streaming service. They'll be able to play games on its own back and not have to worry about the streaming. So that they're still having that option for those people who want it at this stage. But it just feels like that thing of, for to me anyway, of back when the Pro and the X came out and they went, oh, look, for your 4K gaming, and everyone's like, well, we don't really need 4K gaming, it's so expensive. Mm. And all of a sudden 4K TVs came down in price.
Mm.
It feels like someone in the background is going, streaming our internet, someone's working out internet very soon, like whether it's going to be satellite, whether it's going to be 5G is going to finally happen, or whatever it is, something's happening soon in the next probably 3 to 4 or 5 years. Get in first now, and then, you know, be the leader when it comes out.
I'm in that space and I don't know of anything. And 5G is like the problem with satellite and 5G is that it's still like the latency is fucking shit. The round trip time is massive. It takes a long time for your packets to
hit. But you know how fast technology does move, though.
That's true. Although latency has been a problem with wireless technology since day dot.
They haven't fixed that yet. Let's be pretty realistic here, guys. While we are talking about companies that operate on a global scale, we are in Australia. So regardless of what happens,
yeah, we're not going to be able to do
We're not going to be able to do anything for fucking 20 years.
Nah. The problem is that realistically, like when you're talking about wireless technologies and stuff, it's being wirelessly transmitted. You know, when you use fiber optics, it's traveling theoretically at the speed of light. Ain't nothing going to beat that. That's the fastest you can get.
Yeah.
So in terms of latency, it's
very, very interesting development in the whole thing.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Like things might change, things might not, but they're putting a lot of money into it. And if Google's putting a lot of money into it, you know, that Google Eye,
I wonder when Amazon's going to do theirs, because if Microsoft's doing it with Azure and Google's doing it with their cloud platform, the only other one that hasn't yet and is a massive cloud player is Amazon AWS, and arguably they're the biggest cloud platform out there, so that'd be really interesting as well. Moving on, a bit of PlayStation news. So the PS Plus games for November have accidentally leaked. Apparently we're getting Yakuza Kiwami and Bulletstorm.
Yeah. So I think it had leaked for about an hour before Sony had deleted it off everything.
Yeah, it was a blog post. It just went up as a blog post and everyone went, oh.
Oops, wrong post.
The first week in October.
Yeah, shit, eh?
That's pretty cool, to be honest.
It's a bit of a shame because I already own Kiwami and Bulletstorm has been a PS Plus game many times now. So,
I don't have Kiwami and I would be interested to play that because I've always been interested in the Yakuza, just never played it. So,
good game,
good place to start. Yeah,
good game. And they've also announced that their online ID change feature
is apparently forthcoming.
Well, they're going to roll out to beta testers. They've also said, and I actually discussed this in quite length on It Is What It Is podcast from the 8-Bit guys last night with Cruzy. So it's an interesting one because they've come out and said that the first change is going to be free. After that, you have to pay for it. But be aware that it's going to break some shit in older games.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went on to explain on the It Is What It Is podcast last night. I understand how that happens in every, like, realistically, at the back end, it's all databases and it's all information, it's all data. There's what's called in databases a unique identifier in certain tables where that has to be unique to each individual thing. It's what is used to uniquely identify something. And from what I understand, for so long, the unique identifier for your account in Sony wasn't a digit, like a long string of digits, that's what it should have been, with some sort of with that long string of digits being translated to your
So you're not PSN talking idea. About a Nintendo friend code then?
Which is so funny because they've done it the opposite way around, the dumbasses. And I explained, I was having a joke about that last night too. Like, get together, you fuckheads, and fix it. So I explained it the way that DNS works, right? So if you type google.com in, google.com is a, what's called a DNS name. What that does is you type into google.com and then it hits the internet and goes, oh, okay, google.com actually translates to fucking 202.9.17.46 or some shit like that. It's an IP address, but you're not expected to remember all these long IP addresses. So that's why DNS was invented, so you could remember a name and then that translates to an IP address. And those IP addresses are the unique identifier. Well, Sony should have done, they should have, when you sign up to PSN, given you a unique identifier that was some massively long hexadecimal digit or hexadecimal number or some shit like that, and then gone, you know, that's translated to whatever your PSN online ID is. But they didn't do that. From what I understand, your unique identifier is your PlayStation, your name, like that, your which account is, name.
Yeah, big. Now, the problems you think that they're going to see in older games, do you think it's just going to be like online leaderboards or...
stuff like that, but also like friends lists. So some games deal with, like, if you're playing Final Fantasy 14, for instance, a lot of your friends lists internally are names of people and stuff, you know, any old MMOs and stuff like that. If their back-end databases rely on the unique identifier being that PSN name and you suddenly change that, you're going to lose all your fucking progress.
But there is a potential. They did say that the more popular older games will get patched or are getting patched.
Yes.
It's the lesser ones that won't be... But I don't expect the game to not... just not play. I expect it to not have online functionality.
If there's licensing tied in to your, so let's say that a game checks an online lead. Let's say that the game, I don't know what it would be. Let's say it's something like I don't know what it could possibly be, but let's say there's a license tied to your unique identifier, that game will stop working. I don't know what game that might be, but there's a few games that could potentially actually break. I don't know what they would be, but yeah, look, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with it, though.
But they are letting you revert it back if it one does time. Get to one time. Yeah,
so there's a one time revert. Yep.
If you do find your game that you want to play, you can't play, you revert it back. So you're still stuck with your name if you want to play old games. If you don't care about games pre April 1st, 2018, you are fine, because everything that has been produced since then or released since then will work 100% with their new systems. So
we'll keep I'm okay news. With
this, because they're straight up front saying, look, this is the best we've got because we fucked up 10 11 12 years ago. It's on us, but this is the best option we've got. And from what you've said, this is probably the best option they've got, and I think they've been working on this for many, many years.
They have, from what I understand. This came out a few years ago. It was very difficult to do, and they're like, yeah, look, we're working on it. We don't know what the fuck we're going to do, but, you know.
Just the amount of money they've sunk down the hole to get this to work would be mind-blowing, to be honest.
Yep.
But yeah, I'll be changing my name as soon as I can. That'll be great.
So will I. We'll keep with the Sony news. Rumours, or not rumours, there was some news reports coming out that people's consoles were being bricked, not surprise, from the Activision update. Yeah, but from messages.
Did you get
that
a message on your PS4?
No, you didn't. No, I definitely didn't.
So I sent the message you one. Would come in. It was a weird one, but I sent it to you.
Hey, fuck off. So the message would come in, and you didn't even have to open the message. It just hit your console, and a couple of minutes later, your console would just freeze, and then you couldn't get back into anything. Sony released a statement and said, hey, look, it's not bricking consoles. What it's doing is it's forcing them into a boot loop. If you get online on your mobile app, delete the message, and then do an option 5 in safe mode, which is rebuilding the database, it's not a full reformat, it'll fix the problem. Your console's not bricked. So they came out and said that. I think it was only yesterday or today, actually. And
I think have they patched it now as well, where it won't happen? Or
I think a patch is incoming, or it might have already been released. I don't know.
Either way, so that's happening as well. If it happens to you, don't stress. You can fix it.
Yep. Look, Paxos released a map. If you're keen, head to the Paxos Twitter. You can find it there. We won't really discuss that, but it looks really cool.
There is so much, though.
There's a lot of stuff.
And because EB Expo is no longer competing with them, oh my God, the
floor's
big
massive.
Publisher boys have got some big booths this year. So PlayStation, Ubisoft are huge.
If you want to see the map, head to the Paxos Twitter. You can see it there. It looks pretty cool. The Brazilian government has called for a game to be removed from Steam. Now, this is a bit of a weird one. So this is around their election time in Brazil, and apparently this game it's pretty ridiculous. The person who's pitted to be, you know, the next leader of Brazil, he's depicted in this game as, like, bashing minorities. Kind of. Very racist and very bigoted. So the Brazilian government has asked Steam to remove it. But Steam came out, like, in June and said, hey, anything goes on Steam in the coming months and years, you're probably going to see stuff you don't like. But we don't like to stymie free speech. So, you know, deal with it. The last I checked, I'm not too sure what has happened, if it's been removed or not. But, yeah, there's a game on Steam that the Brazilian government is pretty pissed about. Pretty pissed about. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Quite interesting.
Yeah, oh, well. Oh, well.
Exactly.
I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the future anyway.
I'd say so. Do you know what yaoi is? Yaoi?
No.
No? No one knows what...
No.
Especially hardcore yaoi? So, you know how we've been talking about Switch and how Nintendo has done this weird about face where last generation, the generation before, if it wasn't family friendly, it wasn't getting on a Nintendo console?
Yes.
Well, yaoi roughly translates to boy love.
Sweet. How does this gonna be?
There is a game coming to Nintendo Switch called Omega Vampire, which has, like, full frontal dick in it. And
are
is
you
a
streaming
game...
this when it comes out?
No, I'm not streaming it. So, it's a hardcore yaoi game coming to Nintendo Switch. And, like, that's... Like, it's really big for the LGBTQ community and stuff like that. They're very excited about it. It's interesting, though, like, that the Nintendo's had this massive 180 on this. I think that's the most interesting part of this whole story. Like, you know, we see games like Doom and South Park coming to Switch. I don't think you would have ever seen those...
Honestly, I don't think Nintendo even checks what comes to their consoles. I think they just go, fucking press this button here, we close our eyes, we're going to turn around and you do whatever
you want.
They're
more like, you want something on our console? Sure, go for it.
That's it. Honestly, the amount of shit they get that's poured out on there at the moment.
That's true. But
yeah, like, I don't... Look, each their own. If you like it, then you like it. Then who cares?
Yep. Agreed. The KOTOR fan remake has been shut down by Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
No, not really.
Do you know what that ties in with?
So KOTOR, for those who don't know, Knights of the Old Republic. Knights of the Old Republic was a very, very good BioWare game.
By who?
BioWare.
BioWare. What am I thinking?
Yeah. When BioWare made
Obsidian?
Some damn good games.
No, Obsidian... I'm sure KOTOR...
No,
I think
they weren't. Sorry, you're...
KOTOR was BioWare. No.
It was, yeah. What was Obsidian then?
Maybe it was KOTOR 2?
Yeah.
No, there's no...
Well, I don't know. I've got to look it up. You keep vamping.
Yeah. It's been shut down by Lucasfilm. No big shocks there. They wanted to remake it in the Unreal Engine. It's been gone for a couple of years. It's been looking very promising. And then Lucasfilm was like, haha, nah, cease and desist, please. And then you don't really fuck with Disney's lawyers because they have more money than anyone.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gone, unfortunately.
And you're right.
Knights
Obsidian
of the
was
Old Republic
2. Yeah, 2. KOTOR 2.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So KOTOR 1 was BioWare, KOTOR 2 was Obsidian.
Because they're
also
being
did
rumored to be
too.
Yeah, because they're being rumored to be bought by Microsoft at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is
unfortunately
what I
with Obsidian, KOTOR
2
was probably the last good game they made.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been struggling. They almost went bankrupt a couple of times. So this will be good for them if the majority of the team's still with them, which I highly doubt after all these years and almost going bankrupt, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, this is some weird news coming out of the Oz games industry. There's some really weird numbers on this Kotaku article saying that they released a survey to a bunch of different people.
We got this email actually in our inboxes.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a survey
one
put together.
Or something.
Yeah. So a survey put together by Gameworkers Australia, asking questions like, you know, do you have full time work and stuff like that. Out of 155 respondents, only 52%. Work full-time hours, and 30% of those are actually full-time employed with salary and benefits.
It was from my understanding last year when we did a big thing on it on Hype Train. It was there's only about 980 odd full-time jobs in the industry in Australia.
Yeah,
when you compare that, we compared that with Canada, which is on basically the same. GDP and the same population, all that kind of stuff. They've got 784 studios, and we've got 980 something full time employees.
Yep. So of those working full time hours, one third earning less than minimum wage. 43% of all people have long-time concerns about their roles and their positions and their careers. And in terms of percentage-wise, out of the people working full-time, 12% of people earn $50,000 to $60,000 a year, 22% earn $60,000 to $70,000, 14% earn $70,000 to $80,000, 9% earn $80,000 to $90,000, 1% earns $90,000 to $100,000, and only 4% earn $100,000 or more. It's still $100,000 is nothing to scoff at, of course.
No.
But, you know, it's pretty sad numbers.
But they would be the top. They're the tops of the industry. That's the problem. And, yeah, look, it's scary. And that's one of the reasons why I'm focusing on Australian indies at the moment, because the only way we're going to grow the industry is by basically buying more copies of the game, because the only other way they can get it is the government giving them grants, and that ain't going to happen unless you... Although Queensland's just started doing... All of Film Victoria's really good at it. Adelaide's getting into it. But if you're outside of them, it's really, really hard for them to get any kind of money. We know the Damsel guys. We've talked to them firsthand about it. Screwtape Studios, they pushed the game back a little bit because they got a grant from the government, from Queensland government, which helped them actually put a lot of stuff in towards the end of the game, which really, really helped them out. But they've been working on that game for, what did they say, 6-7 years?
Yeah, 7 years, I think. Or six, yeah.
And they haven't even released it. They've had the work side jobs for other companies to get the money to make this game, and never been full time at any stage really in all that. So
it's rough. It's rough going at the moment.
Yeah, it's sad. And things like PAX, the big thing I didn't talk about it, that map release, is the fact that PAX has gone around and put PAX Rising, which is their indie section, at the front door. So you have to walk through that front door. You have to walk through all the indies to get to the main.
That's
part
good.
Of the show, and it's amazing. And it, like, the stuff they do for indies is amazing, and I just can't wait to get down and talk to all these indies that I've booked in and the ones I haven't booked in yet as well.
Very keen as well. Speaking of games and hard to make games, Red Dead Redemption, and I'm assuming was probably pretty hard to make, has come out, and they've stated that the single player content is about 60 hours long.
They cut 5 hours.
Fucking was cool.
65. They cut 5 hours.
Yeah. stoked on that.
That releases like next week. Blew up though.
It was the other part, the spoken voice lines and everything like that.
It was the fact that they turned around and said that I couldn't believe the numbers they were talking about of people have come in to do voice acting and motion capturing, but it was, we've been working 100 hours a week to get this game out to you, and everyone just in the hole with the whole telltale and all the other issues with game devs at the moment, everyone's like, how can you be proud of that, rah rah rah. And then the Hauser brothers? Is that them?
I think so, yeah.
The first time in history they've pretty much reacted to a story within seconds, and they put out a release straight away as soon as it started blowing up and said, excuse me, we're actually... The way it was framed in that question was taken out of context. We were talking about a handful of the top people in the industry, in our studio, not the employees, but the ones that are on salary and the ones that are actually the big decision makers, were so passionate about getting this game to you guys. That yes, we personally were putting in 100 hours a week. We did not expect anyone else in our studio, nor did anyone else in our studio do those kind of hours. It was just us personally who were making all the money, or not all the money, but we're the top paid people here, and we were doing it out of our own back.
Yeah, and I've been in those scenarios before. I've been really passionate about a project, and I've worked like 80, 90 hour weeks. I know exactly how that feels. I do it for the love of it, you know.
I'm doing 60, 70 hours a week at the moment, just delivering parcels to you poor saps that buy shit on the internet.
True. That game comes out very soon. Very keen for it. Guerrilla apparently has recruited some big Rainbow Six devs, Wilco.
Yes, they've pulled in a couple of the big names, including one of the heads of Rainbow Six Siege. So Guerrilla, what do they make? They've made Killzone and they've made Horizon. Yep. The only thing I can think of is they're trying to revamp Killzone and make it sort of a competitive online shooter, because they're specifically targeting online shooter devs, and I can't see them using it for any sort of Horizon project, because that doesn't really make any sense. So it's just interesting that they picked up one of them. I don't have the names on me right now. One of them about 6 or 8 months ago, but just recently they've picked up one of the actual lead, weapon designers or something or other, or something along those lines. So yeah, there's some moves being made by Guerrilla, and it's sort of exciting me.
Yeah, man. And speaking of weapons, Borderlands 2, the game with billions of weapons, apparently has got VR released, or it has a VR release coming for the PlayStation, which is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that Pez guy's pretty excited about it. He's putting it all over the Twitters.
Mm-hmm, that was a good game, man. Borderlands.
Yeah, I haven't made Borderlands 3, you bastards.
Number 3, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
This is awesome. The stopgap measures. Apparently next year it's a confirm. It's locked in. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, good.
It's
good. Also locked in, Pete Hines is going to PAX Oz.
Yes, which is pretty cool. Three of the big heads, actually, of Bethesda. I can't remember the other two off my head. I just saw Pete Hines and I'm like, holy, that's a big get. So that's only just been announced last week. Also, Bethesda ANZ is now an official Twitter account. Go follow it. It's finally...
Yes, it is.
The local place has got it. So,
yeah, actually, I think it's being run potentially by our good friends over at GoTo Game as well.
They've got their hands in everything except for us at the moment, so...
Hutto always has his hands in me. Don't you, beautiful? But that's a fine.
Yes, he's right. Now, this is Hutto on the collar. This Harry Potter game leaked. He's a big Harry Potter fan, isn't he?
He is a big Harry Potter fan, Hutto Potter. So, yeah, this is pretty cool. I mean, is it legit, though?
Yes.
It is?
100%. There's been a lot of people who have, like, with sources that have been confirmed on stuff, like I'm talking big publications that have said, we know people in the industry, and yes, we've known about this for a while. This is in the works. It all is legit.
So what is it?
And the fact that there's a open world RPG set in the Harry Potter universe.
I would fucking love that, actually. That would actually be really cool.
Awesome. And it's being made by Avalanche Studios, which is one of the obviously Just Cause people, but it's also the actual studio that got put down when Disney's Toy to Life died. So they were the stuff behind was it Disney Infinity? They did some of the car and stuff like that. So
yeah, cool.
The Avalanche has a good history with making games. That one made a lot of games in the past that are fairly good. I'm struggling to remember their names. There's a heap of them, but that particular studio I'm losing at the moment. But them behind a Harry Potter game that's open world RPG set back in sort of the starting timeline. So
yeah, cool.
Way before Harry wasn't even a thing. And yeah, pretty in-depth stuff from what the things we're hearing. So
that'd be awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, I can't wait, to be honest.
Might have to use Afterpay to get it. Hear that segue? EB Games now has Afterpay. That's the last piece of news. Although I tried to use it the other day, and I've only just signed up for Afterpay, and apparently you can't buy much. I wanted to get a PS4 Pro with it to try and make Black Ops work, and apparently you need to have your Afterpay for more than 6 weeks to spend over $500. So I couldn't do that. So, you know.
Oh, look at that. That's cool.
There you go.
The last little thing I put on there, it's a little tidbit, but COD Blops 4 actually was sold prior to digital stores being allowed to sell it for the first time ever in history.
Yeah, so people had to download the fucking patch.
Well, that is the thing. That's what we assume.
Go through 48 hours of trying to fix their fucking PlayStation.
But this is like that's a fairly huge step. For the first time, digital purchasers have had to sit there and watch other people play it who went in and bought the physical copy.
Well, no, because they were expecting, like, the majority of people who don't have good internet would have still been downloading when the digital did get released. So 6 hours isn't really that long, and their servers would have been smashed. It was fucking, the CDNs are terrible these days anyway, so I don't know, fucking...
Yeah, it's just an interesting development in the whole retail versus digital. Because if the first story we talk about goes the way it does and streaming becomes a thing, then goodbye retail.
That's true. Hey, thank you very much for that, anyone who helped us gather those news stories. If you want to help us, then you can come and join the Discord and share news stories in the news channel.
Yeah, please. We need a lot of help.
We need
more help than we're getting. I mean, yeah, cool.
Moving into the listener feedback, if you'd like to ask us a question, you can do so by asking it in the Discord as well, the Ultra Super Mega Discord. It's a beautiful community. We're all very friendly there. Head to our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. Click on the community part at the top, and you can find a link to the Discord right there. First question comes in from Damuji. Will the 100th podcast actually happen?
No.
If so, love you guys.
We love you too, man.
He's
okay.
Here it is. Your legend. Also, He's asked another couple of questions. Do you think Sony has a bad CDM just to make Perko rage? Yes, Sony has a fucking shithouse CDN. For those who don't know, CDN stands for Content Delivery Network. When you download massive amounts of updates from big, big services like this, they spatter them all about the place in different servers and different places. So you're not necessarily, like, no one's hitting the same server to download all this shit, because that server will die when a million people hit it to try and download
but
big updates.
But you never
updates.
Actually hit a local server. That's the problem.
Well, no, the problem with... So the other problem is if... And this has happened, I've seen this happen before, if a single CDN, a single end node on a CDN gets a corrupted version of the update, then everyone that hits that will get that corrupted update. It's fucked.
That doesn't sound likely, though.
Sony's CDN is just fucking slow and shit. It's the worst of all of them. It's worse... Yeah, anyway, it makes me mad. Another question from
Rage is always good, so thank you, Sony.
Yeah. Fuck. No, dear God, Mooji, you prick. Another question from Mooj. I'm going to have to say this fast. I might laugh. Can Perko add me on Nintendo Online? My code is 231321215410211561651321032103203205612310056212300.
I actually think you missed a couple of digits.
I probably missed
that
a couple.
Two ones or three ones in the middle there? I can't remember.
I think you missed a couple of digits there.
I probably missed a few digits. The answer is no.
You're missing a few digits.
You'll be missing a few digits, Mooji, if you fucking keep asking questions like that, you cheeky prick. But that's about right for a Nintendo friend code too, assholes.
That's pretty short, actually, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. He's missed some digits, man. Like, there's not enough there.
Cal has asked, is Wilco's dancing prowess as a legendary fancy Tom Clancy dancer true? Fuck, that was hard to say.
You're the one who started all this shit.
Wilco's dancing prowess as a legendary fancy Tom Clancy dancer true? Fuck. Yes, it is, Cal. You're going to see it at PAX,
I've been called out, so the bank girl and me are having a challenge at PAX, and it will happen. Me and her will be dancing off, and officially as well, the boys... our first stop on Friday morning will be said Ubisoft booth, which has...
Fuck.
I don't know. I assume they're going to have Just Dance 2019. You're more than welcome to join us, Perko, in the battle off.
I'm not too sure about
it. It just needs to be filmed.
We're going to be filming both instances.
What is it called? The Oso Fancy. The Oso Fancy Chuck a Little Dancy with Momancy Tom Clancy Extravagancy.
Yeah, sounds fair. But so there's two actual dance offs that I'm involved in, and there might even be a Just Dance stream coming up for me to practice.
Shit.
Actually make this all happen. But it's true. I'm talking a big talk, and I'm hopefully going to win the crowd over rather than winning the actual dance off. So there could be some moves coming out.
We can all dream, I guess. The next two questions are pretty much just trying to get me fucking raging. The intern has asked us, how does Perko plan to spend the next 30 years waiting for the Blops download? Am I fucking doing your mum?
That escalated quickly.
30 years, man. Wow. You've got some endurance.
And Whippy Vippy Glitter Nippies has asked, will the server still be up when Perko finishes his Blops patch? Don't know, ask your mum, you bastard.
Have you got a Black Ops Battle Royale, Victory Royale, or whatever they fucking call it?
No, I've got like 3 seconds.
Choking. Okay.
So cool. I'm choking at the last point. I've gotten there. Yeah, I've gotten to second it 3 times. But I am enjoying the game. Surprisingly, after all said and done. But anyway,
and will you ever go back to PUBG?
Oh yeah. Nah.
That's not the way you answered that. Oh yeah. Nah.
Nah. What are we looking forward to, guys? Wilco.
PAX.
Yeah.
Red Dead.
Josh.
Seeing what Starlink's all about. And I'll be playing Red Dead while you guys are at PAX.
So hashtag not PAX. PAX. Looking forward to PAX and Red Dead actually as well. And playing some Switch while I'm at PAX as well, which would be pretty fun. And buying a PlayStation Pro. But let's close this thing out. Hey, first of all, guys, I don't really say thank you very much, but...
Don't make me cry, mate.
I'm not going to make you cry, but we really wouldn't have gotten to episode 100 if we didn't have you guys listening to this,
Exactly.
So thank you to anyone who's ever hit the website, anyone who's ever downloaded an episode, said a kind word, is a member of the Discord. USM, if you're a part of the USM community, you'll know that it's more of a family than it is a community. Like, we do watch out for each other. And thank you all so fucking much. for being a part of this and helping us get to this milestone. It means the absolute world that, you know, that we can do things like go to PAX and talk about this kind of shit and research this stuff with you guys and bring this stuff to you. So, you know, from the bottom of all our hearts at USM, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very, very much.
Seconded.
Yep.
But I'm like,
yeah. Fuck off. Like, yeah, nah, there.
We'll go, where can we catch you, you fucking bastard?
Never on this thing again. I've done 100. That's it. Yes, fuck, this is the last episode. Get fucked. Turn and flipping tables right now. As get Hutto back, you bastards. Yeah, cool. So you can probably get me on Wilco's Chill Zone in all places. Like I said, I've got PAX Indie sort of run up going on. So I've got plans for obviously a bit more Damsel. Infliction, I'm hopefully going to get up and play Vale of the Crows, which is an RTS from a team out of Brisbane at the moment. Also looking at a few others which are escaping my brain because it's really late at night at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm really looking forward to that Vale of the Crows. It's like a sort of a sandboxy RTS where your gameplay stays with the world even if you lose the campaign and die and have to restart. Your stuff actually stays in there, so interested to see that. I've talked to them. They're trying to get down to PAX for at least one day. They're releasing in the next couple of days, so they're sort of busy at the moment. But if he gets a free day, he's actually going to try and get down to PAX, and we'll try and catch up with him. Otherwise, they're in Brisbane, so I'll try and get down and catch up with them at some stage there. But yeah, Wilco Shul Zone, Twitch, Twitter, hit 500 Twitter followers, hit 250 Twitch followers. It's all happening.
Nice. Josh, where can we catch you, man? Other than not at PAX.
Yeah, not at PAX. Not at PAX. Super Mega Josh on Twitter. And the Voice of Reason on the Discord. I am still, haven't been very active, but I am still here. So say good day.
Who are you? What?
And you can catch me at all the usual places under Matt Jerkins and Matty Jerkins, depending on if that real estate mogul bastard has taken the Matt Jerkins name. And you can catch us all at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. The next time you hear from us, we'll be doing a podcast from PAX. It'll be myself and Wilco. And again, thank you all so much.
Butters will be there too. Thank you, Butters.
That's true, Butters.
Yeah, the intern will be there.
And again, thank you all so much. It really does mean the world. We will see you guys very, very soon with some more content and catch us all later.
See you guys.
Maybe. See ya.
See ya, you fucking dories.